So now, guest presentations.
Okay, so moving along, we're already at the presentation stage. This is, feels like it's pretty quick. Up first, I'm going to have Mrs. Kim Taylor come up first for ECDC. She's here tonight to present not only an update on reorg, but also provide some highlights and some information around the work she's been doing at the ECDC. Ms. Taylor, this is the first year she opened the school because she was hired mid-year last year. So I think this is a great opportunity for you to hear more about her work, her leadership, and her team, and ultimately the work that's happening. So Kim, I'll kick it over to you.
Okay, thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be here with you tonight. And when I actually had the opportunity to not only talk about the expansion, but kind of talk about what we've been doing since I got here last February. So with my first opening this school year, there's a lot of things that have happened, and we're just really looking forward to sharing with you tonight about the things that we've been doing. So when we started this school year, we were doing a lot of work together on rebuilding the team and the climate and culture at the ECDC, and we had a theme this year, and our theme was onward and upward, because we weren't looking back, we were looking forward. And little did we know at that time what was coming as far as expansion, but it actually goes really well. We're moving forward, we're moving onward, we're moving upward, trying new things, taking risks, and doing some fantastic work for our littlest learners in Franklin. So that just is kind of sets the table for you as to how we approached from February until June last year, and then from September up through the end of this year. I don't know why that's different. Okay. So the plan for tonight is for me to review some of the things that have been happening, the great work that the staff has been doing, and also review what we've been doing for expansion. So it's kind of a two-part presentation, but one thing leads right into the next. So the first part of the presentation is based upon the strategic objectives for the district. And I wanted to share with you some of the opportunities and activities and events that have been going on so that you're aware where our work is focused and how we're prioritizing. So the first strategic objective is around social emotional well-being, and that is one of the things with our littlest learners, of course all of our learners, but with our preschoolers here in Franklin, one of the things that we take really, really seriously. Their social emotional learning is so important in their well-being as they kind of set the stage to moving through the Franklin Public Schools. We look at ourselves as kind of the foundation and what we can do to help them and get them through the first entry and their first experiences to school is so important. So some of the things that we've had the opportunity to do are around student-centered programming, and you just a couple weeks ago saw our first ECDC pledge student ever in Franklin. And we're really trying to provide opportunities for our students to build their self-confidence, which in fact, in turn, you can see some other examples. We have our Good News Call of the Day, and you can see our friends there so excited about being recognized for their contributions to the school community. That little guy at the top, that was like just, you could have just put that picture on the slide because he couldn't have been more excited that he got an opportunity to call home and tell his family about his great contributions to the school community. And we also have been doing some focused inclusion and belonging activities around different special students at our school. So we had to celebrate Rock Your Socks Day for Down syndrome. This Friday, we're going to be participating in an Autism Acceptance and Awareness Spirit Day, where we'll be wearing blue or rainbow, depending upon whatever choice the families make for their students. And then some really exciting things that have been happening. We have started a Special Olympics Young Athletes team at the ECDC this year. And a shout out to Jody Klein, Coach Klein, who is our district physical therapist, who really has taken that under her purview and gotten it kicked off. And it really is an amazing opportunity to see our students taking on those leadership roles with their peers. And we have a team of 8 students, 8 athletes, and they're working together 2 days a week for half an hour on a specific unified young athletes curriculum that is provided to us by Special Olympics. And we'll be looking forward to the end of the year when we have a unified game day, which we will be sure to invite you all to, where our team will show what they've learned and the teamwork that they have developed together working. Our staff is very involved in that, and we have staff volunteers every Wednesday and Friday on their own time to come in the middle of the day and support the team. So we also have some social play groups going on for our STAR classes, which are specialized teaching and readiness classes, and some formal social skills groups that have started this year with our school psychologist. So the second focus is around the curriculum, and I have to just start off by saying that the team at the ECDC has rocked this implementation of the new curriculum. We started this curriculum last year, and I always say to them, remember that your first year with a new curriculum, we consider year zero, because you're just getting used to it, you're just learning it, you're just figuring it out, trying to peel the layers away. And so this year we're considering it our year one, and we have had some real focused professional development around the new curriculum. We've started to do some work with our ESPs so that they had an opportunity, you can see in one of the pictures at the top left, had an opportunity to actually pull the curriculum apart to see what their teachers were planning and teaching, how they were putting together their lesson plans. We really feel like it's important to actively involve our ESPs in the professional development so that they understand and can make sense of what's being taught to the kids that they have to support, which they do such an amazing job at. We also have a partnership with Scholastic, who is the publisher of our preschool curriculum called Pre-K On My Way, and we have worked with a consultant from Scholastic who has come out a number of times to the building. The first visit that she made, she came out and she did some walkthroughs and some observations, coaching with teachers, and then provided me feedback with areas that she thought we might want to concentrate on moving forward. And one of those areas that we felt we could use some more professional development and support was the section of the curriculum on writing. And so she's actually coming back again after school vacation, and she'll be doing some model lessons for teachers as well as observing teachers in that focus area of writing for preschoolers. And just recently, we kind of fell into an opportunity to collaborate with DESE around early literacy assessments. So one of the areas that we're working on, and I have found through my entry time in the past year and a half, is we do a really fantastic job at the ECDC with special education assessments. We could use some additional support on how are we assessing and keeping progress monitoring all of our students, our typically developing students also, to see how they're progressing throughout the year. We do have a developmental summary, which is like the preschool report card, for lack of a better word, that we use, but we assess those skills, the standards, kind of in the way that the teachers think are best for their class. And I felt like we were missing a part of getting some consistency around how we look at progress of specifically our students who are going to kindergarten, so our pre-K1 students. So I reached out to a contact that I have, and I said, at DESE, I said, is there anyone you can recommend to me, any districts that are doing this really well? And interestingly enough, there's a partnership going on with a research organization around, between DESE and this research organization around preschool assessments. And she was like, guess what? Like, I have a connection that you can access, and hopefully Franklin can become a part of this research opportunity for preschool assessment. So Tina and I had an opportunity to sit with the person from DESE, and she has now connected us to the person from the research organization, so we'll be getting together with them in order to figure out how we can become part of that research study. So it literally happened by accident, but it's a good accident, right? So those are some of the summaries of what's happening as far as curriculum goes. It's a really exciting opportunity to watch. The team has just done a fantastic job. And the next focus is around high quality instruction, and some of the areas that we concentrated on in this focus are around universal design for learning. We have made a connection with a professor from Bridgewater State who specializes in early childhood UDL. So she is going to start to work with our team in May to do an intro to how can we best incorporate UDL at the early childhood level. And then she'll be coming back in the fall, spring, to do follow-up work with us around how can we best implement this concept with our youngest students. So sometimes when the ECDC staff looked at the UDL implementation, we felt like we needed a little bit more of a focus for preschool. So we came upon this resource through an opportunity, professional development opportunity that one of my teachers attended, and came back and said, hey, this woman is great. Do you think that we could have her meet with her? We met with her and she's fantastic, so we're excited about that. And then I just want to give a shout out to the team around the new IEP. They obviously, you know, that's a monumental task, and one of the pieces of the new IEP that's really interesting for the youngest learners is how do we incorporate student voice with preschoolers, because part of the new IEP is having students give their input. So we have had an opportunity to hear from a preschool teacher from the Natick Public Schools who has really done this beautifully, and she came and she did a professional development opportunity for our staff on how to incorporate student voice with 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. And so our team has created presentations that start every IEP meeting that incorporate questions that allow the students to answer them if they are able, and if not, the teachers incorporate videos and pictures, and that's how we start every IEP meeting now, so that the parents are hearing their own student voices through the IEP process, and it's incorporated right into the new IEP. So that's been a really, a risk, certainly, that teachers have taken, and they've taken it and they've gone with it at whatever level they feel like they're able to do right now. So we've done some great work around that also. And then the final focus is around effective two-way communication. And I feel like this slide was like, could have gone on and on and on, because the team at the ECDC has done an amazing job connecting with the community, connecting with within the school district, and you can see some examples, some pictures around our collaboration with Horace Mann, our collaboration with the high school. Right now, starting yesterday, our school is like full. I feel like I'm in like Franklin High School, like
annex,
yeah, because there's, I think we have 8 senior project students at the ECDC this year, and they are everywhere. It's fantastic, and they just are really, and they're working with in classrooms, they're working with related service providers. The nurse has a senior project student, so that connection, we started it last year, but it really has blossomed this year, and we also have formed a connection with the early childhood class at the high school, and I have gone over to present to them about the ECDC, and then they come over 2 times a semester. They plan a lesson, they read to the kids, and they carry out that lesson. So it's been a great connection. Ashley Foster, who's their teacher at the high school, has done an amazing job making that partnership work so well. So we have really enjoyed that. And we've done some activities around community engagement. We had a Read Across America Day where we invited people from the community, the police chief, the fire chief, the superintendent, the assistant superintendents, the librarian from Franklin Public Library. So the community connections have been great. And then the last two items have been really staff focused around, I mentioned the culture, climate, and values at the ECDC. When I arrived last year, we had some pretty important work that we needed to do in order to get us back on track and move onward and upward as our theme. And we have done two and have a third directed professional development session focused around what is climate, what is culture, what are our values as a team, and how does that all work together in the best interest of our school community and our students and our families. So that's been really a lot of great work. Hard work, definitely hard work, because it makes you kind of think about what's really important to you and what do we want our school to look like and feel like. So we will be continuing that through this year and into next year. And then finally, the most, you know, effective two-way communication topic that we have on our mind is our expansion for next year. And we did a parent expansion forum back in February, where I just did a presentation about the two locations, who was going to be where, what the hours were going to be. We had a relatively, I think we had about 10 or 15 people which attended, and at the end everyone said, oh, you've answered every question that I had through the expansion forum. So they were able to get, you know, the initial planning. That's when we had made those decisions about what we were going to look like next year and how we were going to rest in our two locations. And again, we're calling it an expansion, not a split. I have to keep repeating that. So that kind of leads into the next piece of my presentation, which is an update on our expansion and what's been happening on that front. So we have five topics to review tonight: the locations, the space and facilities, staffing and caseloads, the work our steering committee has been doing, and then what's on the agenda for next steps. So here we are. These are our two locations for next year. We're current location at Oak Street, and then our second location, which will be in the kindergarten wing of Pond Street. And just to review, this is what the programming looks like for next year at both locations. At our current Oak Street location, we will have pre-K2, which is our youngest students, our three-year-old students, and our STAR, our specialized teaching and readiness classes, with their typically developing partner classrooms, ages 3 to 5 mixed. And then at Pond Street, if you might recall, we decided as a team that we would house our four-year-old students, the kids who are 1 year out from kindergarten at Pond Street, so that they had a K-ready experience. So they'll have a gym, they'll have a cafeteria, they'll have the opportunity to experience what it's like in an elementary school in a full-day program. So that's kind of what that looks like. And just some details that people watching are probably wondering, what is it going to look like as far as logistics in both locations? So our hours for Oak Street at this moment, if we have to adjust along the way for other school hours in the district, we will. But as of right now, Oak Street is set to be 9:10 to 3:10. And Pond Street is set to be 9:20 to 3:20. So there's the 10-minute in between if a parent has students in two locations, if they have a three-year-old and then a kindergarten-ready student, and also gives time for the specialized transportation to get from Pond Street to Oak Street. And we'll be watching that. That might be something that we need to kind of shift around a little bit, depending upon what the populations look like and how many students are using specialized transportation. And lunches will be served at both locations. As I said, our Oak Street location will have our specialized special education programs and as well as integrated classrooms. And then at Pond Street, parent transportation, specialized transportation, lunches, just like at Oak Street. And then the exciting news is that we are going to be piloting Little Solutions, which is our preschool version of Solutions. So we'll be having just a pilot program for our full-day students next year that's going to be run and facilitated by Lifelong Learning, as they do for regular Solutions, for morning wraparound care and afternoon wraparound care. And we hope to use this pilot program for an opportunity to figure out how we might expand to the other location in the following year. But we thought we would just try it to get started and see how it goes. We surveyed parents to see what the interest level was. And so the registration is opening for that on Thursday. So we're really excited about that opportunity for the students. And then, as I said, the K-Ready experience is really going to be a highlight for the students and families who are housed at Pond Street. So it's an exciting time. So as far as space and facilities, we wanted to just give you an overview of what's going to happen at both locations as far as space and facilities. So what we have done and was finalized this morning, actually while the superintendent and I were meeting, my steering committee team took all of the information that had been gathered from our staff around suggestions for space usage at both locations. Pond Street was much easier for us to assign space because it's all empty. It will be all empty. So and the area is designated. At Oak Street, we had a little bit more of brainstorming that we needed to do around how are we moving what's currently in Horace Mann into the space that will open up by the teachers moving to Pond Street. So the steering committee and the staff did some really great brainstorming with different options and what that looked like. And this morning, the steering committee finalized, after having different options to choose from, what our space will look like at Oak, and we have the space all set for Pond Street. So I'm happy to say that that's like a check, like, unless something else changes along the way. people will know tomorrow where their spaces are, although I'm sure they already know after the steering committee met this morning, what that will look like at Oak Street next year. And then for Pond Street, like I said, the space is pretty self-explanatory, but there are some facilities updates that we're working on with Colin and the facilities department around some adjustments that need to be made. For example, the touch view screens in all the classrooms. At the ECDC, the touch view screens are low, and at Pond Street, they have to be moved so the kids can access them. So it's things like that. The playground has some sections of the structure that we need to look at with the playground company because they're very high. So we're looking at how we're going to modify just a couple of the parts of the structure. We're hopefully going to be adding a new set of swings and hopefully adding a sandbox over there so that the experience for our families in both locations is an equitable experience. And a lot of that is just ongoing conversation. We've taken tours over there with our steering committee, with facilities, and looked at all the spaces and worked out what that was going to look like. And then obviously we have moving plans also. We have 5 classroom teachers who need to move, and that move is set for August. But we also have rooms down in Horace Mann that need to be emptied before they do their move in July. So there's a lot of coordination and conversation about what that's going to look like, but because we have ESY going on also at the ECDC. So just logistical things that kind of, are ongoing conversations. So there may be wonderings about how did you decide who was going where from the current staffing that we have all at Oak Street. So what we ended up doing was, once the placement of student programming was decided, we made some spreadsheets that outlined for us the number of students, both typically developing and special education. We took the IEPs of all the special education students in both locations, put them into a spreadsheet, broke it all down by minutes, added in preps, added in evaluation times, added in lunch times, and then that kind of broke out for us, like, how many days do we need of, like, speech and language at each location? How many days do we need of occupational therapy? What does that look like as far as both locations? And lucky for me, what I thought in my head was going to work worked. And so we are able to have staff members, related service providers in both locations with minimal, and when I say minimal, I mean almost no traveling. So that actually worked out really well. I mean, there will be times when people have to go do an evaluation at one of the other locations just because of the circumstance. But and staff, they already know if they're Pond Street staff or if they're going to be Oak Street staff, keeping in mind that we are all ECDC staff. So that's a really important piece. So that's how we assign staff and related service providers. And then the things that are still kind of up in the air that aren't done yet are ESPs, filling our ESPs and assigning our ESPs. We had a retirement last week. We have some, a transfer from another building. So we're still kind of wait on ESPs until close to the summer, because there's always moving parts with that. And then any open positions that may, you know, need to be filled are still kind of out there with processes in mind. And then an update from our steering committee, and I incorporated some visit information that we've taken to Pond Street with our steering committee. And this kind of lays out for you what we have done over the past 4 months in regards to the steering committee, and how did we gather information and how can we plan accordingly with a smaller group of people who then are the conduits between the larger staff. So in December, myself and my team chair and the facilities department did a walkthrough at Pond Street to see the area that we would actually be in. I've been in the building, but not in the whole section that we would be using, through the playground, through the cafeteria, through the gym, through the classrooms. And then at that time, photos were taken, and we brought those back to the steering committee to look at, knowing that the next month, the steering committee meeting for January was held at Pond Street, and then the steering committee had an opportunity to see the space and not see it through pictures and photos and ask questions. And then in March, we took our team that's going to be the Pond Street instructional team. So the teachers, the related service providers, they got a chance to go over and see their spaces, and their spaces have already been assigned. They knew where they were gonna be, so they were able to actually see that space and then ask questions and see the playground and that kind of thing. And then we went through the steering committee brainstorming process, which was for Oak Street, which it was finalized this morning. We had a staff meeting around the space where everybody kind of looked at three different options, gave their strengths, challenges, and questions. And then the steering committee this morning took all that information together. So we've been really busy. The next big thing that we hope to have happen is that the whole staff will be able to go over, because like we have continued to say, that location at Pond Street is an ECDC location, and it's all of us that are part of both locations. So we want to make sure that the whole staff has an opportunity to see where their colleagues will be working and where we will probably mostly be having our big, like, professional development, our staff meetings, because we will finally have a space where we can do that, and we won't have to go over to the middle school to borrow their space for bigger staff meetings. So next steps, where are we headed? What comes next? So we're finalizing staff room assignments, which basically, as I said, was done this morning, but it's now just put it all together, present it to the staff, and say, here's where you're going to be next year. And I think the thing that I'm really proud of about that, and I said this to Lucas this morning when we were meeting, like, I can't believe that just happened. Like, I wasn't even, like, there's such an amazing group of people who work at the ECDC that it just happened. Like, they did it. They went, I left it for them. I said, I'm gonna be in a meeting. Can you finalize all this? And it was done. So it's a great feeling to know that you have a team who can take on a task. And this is a big, you know, emotional and strategic move for them. And so they're taking it really well and doing a great job with the work. We're in the process of finalizing the little solutions before and after school care. Like I said, the registration will come out on Thursday for that. So I'll be sending it to our families who we know are registered for our pre-K-1 programs. And we'll be watching that closely. Student classroom assignments, we have a process that we go through at the building level, an internal process where we'll be looking at students as far who are staying with us. So the elementary schools take care of placing the rising kindergartners, but we have students who will stay with us again, and we will do an internal process for that, and then we notify families in August of who their teachers will be, which kind of brings us to the next section as far as orientations, because families who are new to either location or are currently at Oak Street and will be at Pond Street next year will want to see their spaces and, you know, have the, an opportunity to meet kids in their classes, and we'll do those kinds of visits in August and at the start of school in September. So that's it. Lots of exciting things going on, and I am happy to answer any questions that you have.
Well, thank you so much. In terms of questions or comments, I'll actually open up online. KP?
The question what I have is the slide number 7. Could you please elaborate on the student internships or practicums? About how can they internship with the ECDC and all those, so that our community will be aware of that?
Sure. So right now, the opportunities for student internships and practicums occur in a number of different ways. So as I mentioned, we have our, I think there's 8 or 9 high school students doing their senior projects right now. So that's one opportunity for them to be involved. We have students who come to us from Tri-County from their early childhood department, and they come in and spend a semester with us working in classrooms, week on, week off. It's an internship program for them if that's their area of interest. And then we also host student teachers from Dean. We had one in the fall, and we're going to have one next fall. So those are some of the opportunities.
That's all I have in the great presentation. I'm always fan of ECDC. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. I made some notes on here, but they're all just kind of like, great job, great job, great job. So thank you to Jody Klein for stepping up and doing some unified sports with the little athletes. It's great. It's awesome to hear, because there's so much going on. And so to hear the details of how people are, you know, still able to kind of make such a big impact, you know, in real specific ways while we're doing all of this work, is great to hear. So I know it's not easy. And it sounds like you're a great leader for the UCDC. It sounds like you manage very well, just utilizing your network. And thank you to Tina. I know that opportunities can be overlooked when, you know, you were mentioning the, I don't know which one it was, but you were, because you had the Bridgewater State, you had the person from Natick coming in, you have, But one in particular you mentioned, we sort of looped Tina in to get
the assessment, the early childhood assessment.
So that's something like, you know.
And looped me in.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so I'm saying kudos because I know that her bandwidth. So to be able to, you know, I've worked before for management where as an employee you go, oh my gosh, this is such a good opportunity. And you go to your manager and they're like, yeah, I'll get to it. And you're like, no, you don't understand. Like, we need to talk to these people. So that's why I was saying kudos, you know, for stepping up because I know there's a lot on everyone's plate. So keep doing what you're doing. I don't have a lot of feedback. Great job, and looking forward to how you expand. I'm glad you're getting an opportunity to expand.
Thank you.
I'm sure Aaron will jump on the little solutions expansion. I thought you'd get excited about that one. So thanks, that's all I got.
Thank you very much for this presentation. Thank you for your leadership with ECDC and just being so forward thinking and looking all the different expansion opportunities, you know, making the most of our space and the programs we offer. Yeah, it's been great to hear about the Unified Sports and the Special Olympics opportunities there, and then also recognizing just different ways that we can improve upon our curriculum and the services that we're offering. And then, like as my colleague just touched upon, the little solutions pilot program, and then also being very forward thinking with that to see like, oh, how can we kind of kick the tires on this and then see how we can expand in the subsequent year. So it's great to just hear about the work that you're doing and in the future see the fruit that it bears and really making the most of the redistricting and our expansion. So no questions on my part. Thank you for the work that you're doing. Great
Thank
job.
You.
And we look forward to seeing how it continues to flourish and pay off down the road for our students. Thank you.
Thank you.
Excuse me. So thank you for the presentation. Definitely informative. The part that piqued my interest was around the little solutions.
Mm-hmm.
So can you expand about that? Because I wasn't clear if it was just for the students at the Pod Street location or is it everybody? You just kind of.
So the program will begin as a pilot program at the Pond Street location. And it will be there'll be care before school and after school for our full day students. So the care before school will be from 7 a.m. until 9:15, and after school will be from 3:20 until 5:30. And parents will have an opportunity to opt in to, you know, mornings, afternoons, both. And there'll also be care on Wednesday afternoons. So the ECDC doesn't have school on Wednesday afternoons. So where there'll be care for students from 1:20 until 5:30 if parents want to take an opportunity to have care for their kids on the half days.
No, that definitely sounds amazing, because I know one of the things that we've heard before was around the limited hours and folks wanted to have more so that they could they could attend ECDC. So I'm assuming this would also increase your potential student population as well.
Possibly.
Is this something, I guess, do you have the capacity for the potential increase as a result, I guess?
Yes, interestingly enough, our enrollment right now for next year is not, we're not full at Pond Street next year. Our classes typically have about 15 in them, and we're not, I don't know exactly the number that each class will have, but it's not a full enrollment. So we do have the opportunity to expand over there. We get that question all the time from families about, I can't come because I don't have, you know, before and after school care, especially on Wednesdays. So, you know, the forward thinking part of this is let's see how it goes. And then how do we then incorporate the mixed programming that is at Oak Street? That's where some kids come in the morning, some kids come in the afternoon. What does that look like? And how could we possibly make it happen at Oak Street also? But we thought we might as well start small and do it well than just go full-fledged ahead.
No, definitely a perfect approach. And do you have like a target number that you're looking to get or?
For solutions?
For the little solutions, yeah.
I'm going to turn this way.
It's typically one staff member to every 10 students. So depending on groups of 10 would be the number to have an additional staff member. So that's why it's a pilot to start. Obviously, and through some of the parent interest through the survey, I think you'll now we'll just open up to like a pre-reg, just to get people to know that it's real and we have more information. A lot of the decisions around how this would be structured were approved. We met last Friday. It was Friday. So, you know, once you have a group of 20 students, you have two staff members. Anything beyond that would need to be looked at. But the size of the program is paired with the size of the school, the group at Pond Street. So that's why it's a pilot to start with to begin. So,
okay, great. And one suggestion, if you don't mind, I think if you are partnering with the elementary schools to help drive awareness around this, because I could see a lot of parents that said, you know, I didn't know about this, or they didn't go to ECDC because of the timing, and now that they're like, hey, you have this, you know, ready for our pre-K on my, or kindergarten on my way program, like, this would be a great place to get my kid into before kindergarten, so just
great
a word
idea.
Of mouth, so,
yeah.
But awesome, thank you.
You're welcome.
So actually just diving right into the Pond Street question that Al had asked, for registration, is that rolling or is that closed at this point? Or like if people wanted to register for, you know, the what is that, the four-year-old?
Oh, the regular preschool. We're not talking about Little Solutions right now. You're talking about
just about
during
the preschool.
The day.
Right, just ECDC in general. Is that rolling or is that
closed? It's rolling. I mean, okay. when we closed enrollment to see if we would need a waiting list or not, that was in February, and we filled, we did not fill every class, and we did not have anyone on a waiting list, and the kids who are coming back next year all got their first choices. But
okay.
We still have openings.
Okay.
So, yes.
Excellent.
And hopefully with more advertisement of the program, the before and after school program, that we'll be able to increase the enrollment.
Okay. And is Oak Street facility, is that also rolling or is that closed at this point now?
Well, there's
so they're
still
both,
openings
they're both
there too,
the
especially in the three-year-old morning and afternoon classes. So if anyone in the community has a student who would like to come to school in the morning or the afternoon who's 3 years old, we do have openings still.
Fantastic. And then following up on the Little Solutions question, just so that it's out there yet again, you did say that registration opens on April 10th. So
correct.
Thursday, April 10th, just in case anyone hasn't heard that, sure, you can take a crack at it just to make sure that we have multiple people saying it over and over. And I want to echo how impactful that is. I don't work in this town. It really means a lot to be able to have that kind of flexibility. I know a lot of parents do rely on things like that, so I really appreciate you looking into it. I understand it's a pilot. You're wanting to do it right, and I really applaud that, kind of, you know, taking little steps when you can. But, you know, I really do appreciate you exploring that. And also just wanted to comment on two other things. You know, the first is really how you've been able to repurpose the use of the Pond Street facility. I personally am really excited to see that building continue to get really great use, especially as an educational facility, and knowing the area that you're going to be in, like, you know, over in the kindergarten section, just how, you know, yes, there's a couple little adjustments, you know, like height-wise. But other than that, you know, it's really great to be able to see that we can kind of repurpose that to help students get used to that environment in the first place. So really excited to see that. And then just also wanted to compliment you and the team on what you offer. You know, the amount of programming and focus groups and the additional kind of activities that you really allow these students to engage in at this level. You know, I can imagine the challenges surrounding that in the elementary level, being, you know, involved kind of outside of the school system with some of those programs. So, you know, working with 3 and 4 year olds to do a lot of this, I really applaud you and the team for offering much more than just a daycare or just a place for the kids to sit and be preoccupied, but for really engaging and making sure that they have a good educational experience kind of across the board. So thank you.
Thank you.
I think most of my questions were taken over already by Paul and Al. But really, you know, this was such an incredible presentation about strengthening, you know, the enrichment opportunities for every student that you have. You know, I'm always a fan of expanding solutions. So love to see the little solutions pilot. Hope that solutions can continue to expand in other locations too. Throwing it out there. But otherwise, yeah, just incredible job. Love the extra information and thank you so much.
Thank you.
I have one more question before, if you want to
be
the anchor. I just wanted to mention this because I've had like a personal really great experience with it, and I know that Franklin has adopted the PEERS curriculum, because you started off by talking about the strength of social emotional learning. So, and I can kind of talk to you about this offline, but I know that we've sort of adopted this for social, it's a social skills, it's very very cutting edge, evidence-based, and they just became certified for preschoolers.
Oh.
So I'm connected to the founder of the group in Boston.
Oh, great.
So I'd love to put you in touch, because you never know what opportunities might be there. Since it's such a new curriculum, there may be sort of, you know, giveaways to kind of get more of the evidence.
Great,
so,
great.
Yeah, I'll connect you guys.
Great, thank you.
Thanks.
Really, thank you so much. This, as all my colleagues have mentioned, this is fantastic. I feel like it was, maybe 4 years ago, one of the first budget meetings, and we were hearing from, at the time, Dr. Sarah Hearn and Marion Goodman, kind of just talking about, when it comes to ECDC, that, you know, it's like, well, you know, like the changes that they're making right now is that enrollment is busting, so they're having to use the break room as a new classroom, and they moved, you know, some teachers and some ESPs over to this room, and now we're kind of just constantly just moving and readjusting, because the space just wasn't there based on the interest. And so now to hear, you know, talking about the expansions, talking about the Little Solutions pilot program, which we've heard a lot about how that, especially Wednesday afternoons, kind of is tricky, but just so much growth over here, and that's, you know, based on the interest, not just kind of based on, well, this is the only space we have, so we kind of have to get creative, really able to kind of go and say, what's the best for the children? And this is what it is, and so here's where we're gonna go, and here's the directions that we're gonna go in. It's wonderful to hear. And especially just want a few other highlights. I loved the concept behind that with over at the Pond Street location, to kind of get that kindergarten experience. Because I know my kiddos had went through the Ready Set Pre-K, a Ready Set kindergarten program, and they loved it, and it was a great introduction. And now these little ones are going to get an entire year worth of that, which is, it's terrific. And I had one question. You had mentioned just about the playground.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to confirm, that's, you're really just kind of talking about adding to the playground or to the structures, so that way, you know, the little ones can kind of go, but others can still.
Yes.
Okay.
The changes, the specific things that have to happen out there are, one, a fence is being installed. So we've gone through a couple of iterations of what a fence will look like, so that we have the playground is fenced in, as opposed to just the wooden kind of barriers that go around right now, fences that have a gate on, you know, different ends of it, so that we can exit and enter to the classroom area in the back. So that is happening. There are swings at Pond Street that we considered having moved, but we're actually going to hopefully invest in a new set of swings. So those swings will stay, and then hopefully have, oh, look at this. Maybe I should just stop talking and let Colin take over. Go ahead, Colin.
we've analyzed all the potential needs for the playground, such as the swing set, and also looking at a potential sandbox as well. This is something that potentially we're looking to put to the community, the preservation committee. This could possibly be funded through a CPA fund. So we're working with the town administrator's office right now to make this happen.
That is wonderful. Thank you very much. And so and with that, so the, all the playground structures that we currently have, and then the new ones as well, the after hours, will they still be accessible to families?
I think so,
community?
Yeah. I haven't heard otherwise. I just want to clarify, we're not adding any structures, just the swings and the sandbox. We're looking at a little bit of modification to a couple areas of the current structure because of the height. But we're working with the playground company on that.
And just overall, like I said, all my colleagues mentioned, it's a great presentation. I know at other ECDC presentations, I kind of spoke about the investment, almost the return on investment that we do. When we invest in these little ones over here, it just pays dividends through the next 12 years that they're in, 12, 13 years that they're in school. And it's true, and it really is a financial investment that we're making that really does kind of pay back towards the community. However, I love every single picture that you saw. It just shows, there's that financial aspect and the financial benefit. But to see the smiling faces on the kids, I'm glad the camera wasn't trained on me the entire time because I had a smile on my face seeing those kiddos and what a great experience that they're having. And so this is terrific. What you do over there is wonderful, you and the entire staff. And I really applaud all the work and the thoughtfulness as we kind of, you guys are moving forward. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kim.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.